I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. I would like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I encourage you to look at God's holy word. I know that you can learn some just from hearing, but if you're looking at the word of God and reading the word of God as well as hearing the word of God, I believe that it makes a greater impression on our hearts and our minds. So please, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I would like to read verses 15 through 20. Before we begin to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful we have the privilege to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we're thankful that you're not only our God, but you're our Father, that you have a perfect love for us, you've loved us with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're thankful that we're preserved in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us all, that we would live each day closer to thee, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God, that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We know that Satan is attacking each of our lives in different ways, and we ask you, Lord, to help us to resist the devil, knowing that then he will flee from us. We ask you, Lord, to help us to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And we pray that you would give us the strength and grace to be able to recognize the different ways that Satan is tempting us each day. We thank you, Lord, for many that have been sick that are doing better, and we pray that you would continue to touch and heal them. We pray that you would bless the doctors with wisdom and understanding to be able to help those that are sick. We pray that you would bless all of those that have been mentioned audibly as well as in the bulletin this day. We pray that you would bless them and bless the doctors as they administer unto their needs. We beg you, Lord, to bless those who have lost loved ones. Bless Sister Brandy's family in the loss of her grandfather. Pray that you would bless the family of Brother Jerry Rowell and Sister Cassie, and that you would comfort their hearts. And bless all the others, Lord, that stand in great need of thy help. We know that there are many families that need thy help this day. And we pray that you would help and bless as you alone are able to do. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the children that are having great difficulties and problems, that you would lift them up into a sacred nearness with thee, and that you would help us to know how to help other people. Guide and direct us all. Forgive us of our sins. Be merciful to us and bless us now as we try to read and study thy holy word. Help us to hear the word of the Lord and to realize the seriousness that it's a life and death situation that we're facing. Help us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want you to notice beginning in the 15th verse. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. The word of God says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." If correctly read, that's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Now, I know that these words were spoken specifically to the children of Israel, and God was saying to the nation of Israel, His chosen people, God was saying, "I have set before you this day life and good. That was one thing. I've set before you life and good. He later calls it life and blessing. And I've also set before you death and evil. He later calls it death or perishing and cursing. I've set that before you. And then the main thing he says is, choose life. That's the main thing that's on my heart this morning, is that God's people need to choose life. Now sometimes people misunderstand the Word of God, and they apply that text as well as other similar verses of Scripture to teach that you need to choose God so that you can go to heaven when you die. Now I want to mention this to you carefully. God is the one who made the choice that determines our eternal salvation. Everybody understand that? There's a major difference in the choice that God made before the foundation of the world. The Word of God says that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. God is the one who chose us, and it's because of His choice that we will be in the eternal heaven. It's not our choices that affect whether we're going to be in the eternal heaven or not, but the choices that we make have a lot to do with what we experience while we live here in this world. God was not telling the children of Israel, choose me so you can go to heaven when you die. Rather, He was telling the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, choose me and keep my commandments so that you can go in and possess the land of Canaan and dwell in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is a foreshadowing of what we can enjoy today, called the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. So God is speaking to us this morning and saying we had better choose what? Choose life and good. Choose blessing. Do not choose death and evil and cursing. Now, do you know anybody in the world, in the Word of God, that made some great choices and right choices? Do you know anybody in the Bible that the Word of God makes plain now, that individual chose life? Well, I'll tell you, one is Moses. The Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews that Moses chose to suffer affliction. I want you to follow this carefully. That Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Did God make Moses leave Egypt? Did God make Moses leave Egypt? Did God make Moses make that decision that he had to leave Egypt? God did not make him do that. It was a choice that he made. Moses chose. And I want you to notice that he didn't just choose life. He did choose life. That's the end result. He chose blessing. But I want you to notice what the Scripture says, because it's very important to understand that if we're choosing life, that the first thing that we're actually going to choose is what? Suffering. Now I want you to follow this. The people of God will either choose life, and in choosing life they will suffer before they experience that abundant life, or else they will choose the pleasures of sin for a season, and then the result will be death. You're going to either choose some short-term and short-range kind of feelings and experiences for a long-time blessing, or else you're going to choose a short-term blessing and relinquish a long-time blessing. Choose life. Choose life. Moses chose life by choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God for a season. Did he, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, did Moses suffer? That's what I'm asking you first of all. Did Moses suffer? Was there suffering that took place when he left Egypt? Do you think it was hard for him to give up that kind of lifestyle, being Pharaoh's son, adopted son? Do you think it was hard for Pharaoh to give up all of that? Indeed it was. But he gave it up because he looked for something better from God. He chose to suffer. Did he suffer while he was leading the children of Israel in the wilderness? Did he suffer there? He suffered, but what was he doing? He was looking forward to a greater blessing. Likewise, the people of God, when they choose life, they will first suffer. You will suffer persecution all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So when you choose life, don't think that God has just set this great, wonderful blessing out here, and you're just saying, well, I'll take this. You know, there's a sign on a church here in town that says, getting saved, or something like this, says, getting saved is so easy a caveman can do it. Let me tell you something, brethren. Eternal salvation was not easy. Eternal salvation came at the cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came down into this world, and Jesus suffered tremendously. And your eternal salvation is not based on your decision. It's based on a decision and a choosing that God did. And it's not based on your works. It's based on the works that God did. That's your eternal salvation. But brethren, God also tells us in His Word that God's children have a lot of choices to make in this life. We don't choose eternal heaven or eternal hell. But we choose whether we're going to experience the abundant life in the kingdom of heaven, or we choose to experience hell here on this earth. And there are a lot of God's children who will be in eternal heaven one day, but they're experiencing a lot of hell while they live here on this earth. Who else chose life? Joshua. You remember what Joshua said? Some of you have this a sign hanging in your home that quotes the words of Joshua when he says, choose you. He says, what was the first word he says there? Choose. It means you choose. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And then he makes a statement about the choice he had made. He said, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. Now, had Joshua made a choice there when he said, you choose? I'm telling you, I've already made a choice. And I want you to notice that he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because, brethren, Joshua was the man of his house. And anybody that lived in his house was going to do what he said. You understand that? My daddy told me as I was growing up, I got to be 16 or 17, I got pretty smart alecky. And he told me one time when I was beginning to get a little rebellious, he said, as long as you put your feet under my table, you will do what I tell you to do. He made that statement a number of times. Why? Because he had made a choice. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want all of you parents to understand, you are responsible for your children. If your children have not chosen to serve the Lord, it's because you have not chosen to be completely dedicated in your service to God. You need to choose, and you need to be able to say like Joshua did, I've made a choice, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a right choice, didn't he? Did Joshua have to suffer because of the choice he made? Yes, he suffered. He went through suffering. But what's the point? You go through the suffering before you receive a great blessing. And I'm not talking about in eternity. I'm talking about receiving blessings while you live here in this world. God will bless your family when you do what's right. God will not bless your family when you do what's wrong. When you do what's wrong, it's going to affect all of your family. It's going to affect your spouse. It's going to affect your children. The choices you make affect your whole house. The choices this church makes affects every member of the body. It is important that we do what God says and that we choose God's way. God's way is the only way to experience the abundant life while we live here in this world. You remember Elijah? Was Elijah a man who made a right choice? Did Elijah choose the right way? Did Elijah choose life? Indeed, he did. And you remember what he said to the multitudes of people that he came in contact with? He asked them this question. He was rather disgruntled, I think, with the people because they wouldn't make a choice. And therefore he said to them, he said to the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? Had they made a choice? Had the people made a choice? Had the multitudes of people made a choice? They hadn't made a choice. That's the reason. And let me mention this, because this is true. And I want you to mark it down, write it down, and remember it. If you don't choose life, you have chosen death. You don't have to say, I'll take death. You don't have to say, I'm going to make a decision to take death. If you don't make a decision to choose life, you are choosing death. When you fail to go forward, when you fail to do what's right, you are choosing death. If you're not willing to suffer for Christ's sake, you have chosen death. You might say, well, I never chose death. Yes, you did. When you failed to choose life, you chose death. You notice what he says here, I've set before thee life and good and death and evil. It's all before you. You choose, he didn't say choose life or choose death, did he? All he said was what? Choose life. Why? Because it is inferred clearly in this passage and many other passages, if you do not choose life, you have chosen death. He didn't have to say choose life or choose death. All he said was choose life. Why? Because if you don't choose life, you have chosen death. There are many of God's children today that are in the valley of decision. They cannot make up their minds. They're halted between two opinions. They're not willing to make a commitment to God. There are many of God's children that are not willing to be dedicated and committed to the church of Jesus Christ. They're not willing to walk down the aisle and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They're not willing to walk down the aisle and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to serve the Lord. They're not willing to make that commitment. They're halted between two opinions. Listen, brethren, it's a shame and a disgrace when God's people are halted between two opinions. Elijah wasn't halted, was he? Moses wasn't halted between two opinions. If Moses had just been halted and couldn't make up his mind which way to go, and a lot of God's people are like that. I've had people of God tell me the reason I don't want to walk down the aisle, the reason I don't want to make a commitment is I don't want to be accountable. Let me tell you something, brethren. That failure to choose life, that failure to take that stand, that failure to walk forward, they're choosing death. It'll come. It'll come. You either choose life, you either go forward in that direction, you either serve God, you either keep God's commandments, or you have chosen. You can deny you've chosen all you want to. You study God's Word, you've chosen death. Oh, brethren, it's a serious matter. If the doctor tells you this is a life and death situation, do you realize it's a serious matter? The doctor says to you, this is a life and death situation. Not it may be, but this is a life and death situation. Well, I'm telling you upon the authority of God's Word that you deciding who you're going to serve is a life and death situation. God makes that clear in this passage. And brethren, let me just tell you again, I'm not talking about going to heaven when you die or going to hell when you die. I'm talking about God's children experiencing heaven on earth or them experiencing hell on earth. And it all depends on you choosing to choose life, to serve God. God's people sometimes have a difficult time making a choice. Have you ever had a difficult time making a choice in your life? Has it ever been hard for you to know what to do in some situations? You're just not sure which way to go, not sure what to do. Well, you know what you need to do when you can't decide what to do? You need to get on your knees and pray. And you need to do something else. You need to study God's Word. And if God's told you what to do in His Word, don't you stay on your knees and pray. You need to get up and do what God says do. Don't you stay on your knees. I've had people tell me, well, I've prayed, and I just don't think that's what God would have me to do. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you've ever prayed, and God didn't tell you to do what His Word said to do, it's the devil that's talking to you and not God. Amen. God never contradicts His Word. God never tells you in His Word to do one way, and then God told you personally to do a different way. That's a devil. That's a devil's lie. Listen to me. And the Word of God says, listen carefully. The Word of God, we're talking about two different ways, and you choosing the right way. You either choose life or you choose death. You either choose suffering now and life, abundant life, after that, or you choose pleasures now and you're going to get death after that. The Bible says the way of a fool, listen carefully, we're talking about which way to go. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Do you know what that means? When a fool, I'm talking about a fool. That's one thing for me to tell you what God's Word says. It's something else for me to personally call you a fool. But God's Word says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. There are many of God's children that are foolish. That is, they choose to do things that are contrary to God's Word. But how do they feel? I'm right. They'll back up in a corner and declare and feel and say, I'm doing what's right when they're doing what's wrong. Why? Because the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Which way are you going to choose? How are you going to know which is God's way and which is your way? How are you going to know which way is life and which way is death? You need to study God's Word and you need to pray, but you better get serious because this is a life and death situation. Choose life or experience death. It's coming. Death will come if you don't choose life. There is a way, talking about choosing which way to go, choose life or choose death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. What kind of a man? A man that's leaning to his own understanding. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of what? Death. What does it lead to? It leads to death. What does it seem to me it's leading to? It seems to me like this is fun. It seems like it's leading to life. It seems like it's leading to joy. My flesh feels I ought to go this way. But I'll tell you, the Word of God says there's a way. It's a way that we think we ought to go. It's a way that we want to go. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end of that way is death. It's pleasure for a while and then what? And then death. Or choose life. It's going to be suffering for a while and then life. Go, if you please, to Isaiah chapter 55. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to notice verses 7, 8, and 9. Please follow in God's Word. Brethren, this is so important. It doesn't matter if you know these Scriptures by heart. And it doesn't matter if you've already joined the church. And it doesn't matter what other decisions you've made in the past. I'm telling you, every day of your life, you're either choosing life or you're choosing death. There are many of God's children who chose life in walking down the aisle and uniting with the church. But then later in their life, what do they choose? Are there many church-going people who have experienced death? Are there many church-going people who are experiencing death right now, even while they're in the house of God? Yes, there are. Why? Because they're choosing every day. They're choosing who they serve. I'm choosing life every day, or I'm choosing death every day. If I'm not choosing life, I've chosen death. In Isaiah chapter 55, listen please, beginning in verse 7. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 7. I encourage you to write these words down. I encourage you to go home and read and study them. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 7. The Word of God says, let the wicked... And let me just pause right here. Do any of you know some wicked people out there? Wicked. I'm talking about wicked now. Y'all know some wicked people out there? Well, thank you, Brother Robbie. Brother Robbie said he's one. Let me tell you something, brethren. It's sad when God's people read the Word of God and always think about somebody else as the bad guy. The Bible tells me all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know there are times I am wicked? Wicked. There are times you're wicked, whether you believe it or not. There are times you're wicked. And God's speaking to me here when He says, let the what? Let the wicked forsake His way. Whose way? Now, have I chosen a way? Every day, do I choose a way to go? Every day, do you choose a way to go? And sometimes I choose the wrong way. When I choose the wrong way, He says, let the wicked forsake his way. That is, don't keep following your way because your way is going to lead to death. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Do you sometimes think things are not true? How do you need to know what's true? What is truth? God's Word is truth. Study the Word of God so you can know what's the right way and what's the wrong way. There are many churches today who say, we would never vote to exclude anybody from the church. Let me tell you something, brethren. That's man's way, not God's way. It's a serious thing to be a member of the church. And that's the reason a lot of people don't want to join the church, is because they know it's a serious thing. And a lot of people will just join any church in every church and run from church to church because it's not a serious thing to them. They don't realize how serious it is. It's a serious thing if you're a part of the real church of Jesus Christ. Serious matter. I'm accountable to you for everything I do. This idea that I'm my own man and I can do what I want to and it's none of your business, that's a lie from the devil. It's God's business and it's your business what I do. I'm accountable to God. I'm also accountable to this church. I'm accountable to my wife. I'm accountable to my children. I'm accountable to my mama. What I do affects everybody in my family, whether it's my natural family or church family. What I do affects them. So he says, let him return. Let the wicked, now this is Isaiah 55 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Are we talking about children of God? How do you know we're talking about children of God? Because it says, let him what? Let him return unto the Lord. You can't return to some place you've never been. These are people who have been with God. They've walked with God. They've been in His way. They had chosen life in the past, but now they're choosing their own way. They had chosen God's way that leads to life, and now they're choosing their own way that leads to death. So He says, let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will. Isn't it a marvelous thing? He will have mercy. Listen, I'm so thankful I've got a merciful Heavenly Father. Oh, brethren, if I got justice, you know what I would get? If I got justice, I would spend eternity in hell if I got justice. And that's where everybody would spend eternity, is in hell if we got justice. Don't tell me you want justice, brethren. You want mercy. You want mercy. You want grace. And the wonderful message right here is, let the unrighteous man forsake his way and return to the Lord, and God will have mercy on you. He will have mercy, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Is there a difference in the way you think is right and the way God says is right? Is there a difference? Let me tell you something, brethren. You aren't different than everybody else. You're a human being. And human beings' thoughts and ideas are always contrary to God's Word and God's way. You can think, I hear people say, well, I just don't feel like God would have me to do that. Well, I don't care whether you feel like it or not, brethren. If God says it, that settles it. I just don't think God would do this. I don't think God would do that. You better read God's Word. God's a lot different than what most people think. There's nobody here that completely comprehends how great God is, how holy God is. There's nobody here that understands and comprehends the magnitude of the love of God. And there's nobody here that understands the seriousness of walking away from God and walking in your own way. We can't comprehend how serious it is. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Listen, brethren, we need to choose what? Choose life. Do you have to choose death? Do you have to choose death? Don't have to choose that. You don't choose life, you have already made a choice. Go with me to one other scripture in closing. Turn to Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Very important passage of scripture that I encourage you to go home and study is Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 29 through 32. Look in your Bibles at Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. Brother Jerry, did you used to enjoy spanking Brother Jake? Say it again.
I didn't enjoy it, but I did it.
You didn't enjoy it, but you did it. Brother Dennis, I'm just picking out some people I know spank their children. Do you enjoy spanking your boys?
No.
No, sir. There's no pleasure in that. Let me ask you this question, brethren. Do you think God gets pleasure in spanking you? Do you think God gets pleasure in chastening you? You are wrong if you think God gets pleasure out of chastening you. God does not get pleasure in chastening you. God does not get pleasure in cutting you off. God does not get pleasure in you dying instead of living. The Word of God talks about us grieving the Holy Spirit. Do you know what causes us? Do you know when the Holy Spirit is grieved by our actions? It's when we choose our way instead of His way. Now listen to Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 29. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. Have you ever heard that? That's just not fair. The way of the Lord is not equal. That's what Israel said. Israel said the way of the Lord. Is there a difference in Israel's way and God's way? Is there a difference in our way and God's way? And does my flesh and your flesh sometimes feel God's way is not equal? What does the house of Israel say? Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? If we had enough wisdom and understanding, we would know, brethren, it's not God's ways that are unequal and our ways that are equal. It's our ways that are unequal and God's ways that are right and good. Listen to verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you. Why? Why is God going to judge Israel? Because they weren't doing things God's way. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. Say, God, is God going to judge you according to your ways, whether you choose this way or that way? Is he going to judge you according to your works? Yes, he is. Does God judge? The Bible specifically says, the Lord shall judge his people according to their works. God judges the same people that he saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Who did Jesus die for? He saved his people from their sins. But who does God judge while they live here in this world? He judges his people according to their works while they live here in this earth. And so he says in verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his way, he saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. What's that word ruin? What does that remind you of in the text back there in Deuteronomy chapter 30? Death. Iniquity shall not be your ruin if you repent and turn to God. But if you don't repent, if you don't fall on your knees, if you don't confess your sin, and you don't turn from your way and turn to the Lord's way, if you don't choose life, iniquity, sin, shall be your ruin. What did the devil tell Eve back there in the Garden of Eden? Ye shall not surely die. What does God say? You shall surely die. If you don't choose life, if you don't go forward in your service to God, if you don't make the commitments that God's calling on you to make, if you don't do that, you shall surely die. You don't stay neutral. You've chosen death if you don't choose life. Verse 31, he says, cast away from you all your transgressions. We want to hold on to just a few of them, don't we? This is how the devil talks to me sometimes. He'll say, you know, you do a lot of good things. You know, you ever patted yourself on the back? Oh, I do a lot of good things. That's the flesh that does that. Listen, brethren, don't ever think you can do a lot of good things and that qualifies you to do a few little evil things. Don't ever say, well, I can do a little. Well, we're all sinners. We can do a little wrong. You ever think it's all right for you to do a little wrong? You're on the road to death. It's not all right for you to do a little wrong. It's not all right for you to excuse a little sin in your life. He says, cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye, what? Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Were they God's chosen people? Were they God's special people? Did he love them? Is he warning them? He says, why will you die, O house of Israel? Now listen to verse 31. I'm sorry, verse 32. He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Who's speaking here? God's speaking, and God says, I have no pleasure. I get no pleasure at all out of chastening you, and I get no pleasure out of your death. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn. What's that next word say? Turn what? Turn yourselves and live. Turn yourselves and what? Live. Why will you die? It's life or death. Therefore, choose life. Jesus says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Very few of God's children find the straight and narrow way and stay on it. Because, he says, broad is the gate. Let's see. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. That word destruction comes from the same word as die. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. May God help us to realize we're not just here just to play church. We're not here. We're here in a life and death situation in every one of our lives. And any one of us can perish. Any one of us can perish. Any one of us can choose the wrong way. And if I choose the wrong way, I'm going to die. I'm going to perish. I'm going to be destroyed. But if I choose life, if I really choose life, I'm going to experience great blessings from God while I live here in this world. May God help us to choose life is my prayer for Christ's sake.